Shalom! Shalom, everyone, and Shabbat Shalom on the special days of Yahweh. This is Stefan Yah, and today we're going to be opening the Book of Yahweh, going to 1 Timothy, then 1 Samuel, also Romans and Hebrews, and much more today, talking about not only that outward appearance, but the inward work of the heart, the intents and motives of the heart. So the outward appearance, maybe we could refer to that. And first of all, that I am a qualified leader. If somebody had any questions about that, about my credentials, according to the scripture, an overseer or bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So I am that. I'm not divorced and remarried. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knows how to rule his own house, or rather not how to rule, how shall he take care of the church of the assembly of Yahweh? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, or the devil, and moreover he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, the servant leader or deacon must be grave, not double-tongued. That we find a lot in religious radio. Being double-tongued, they're not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And then, speaking of our appearance, there are many scriptures referring to our outward appearance, but first of all, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and speaking unto Samuel in 16, verse 7, Yahweh said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, or Saul, I have refused him. For Yahweh sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks on the heart. And we want to be careful and not just take that as the only scripture, but we have to harmonize that with other scriptures talking about outward appearance. So it isn't that Yahweh doesn't look on our actions, because actions speak louder than words. And we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. So that was 1 Samuel 16. Next to Hebrews chapter 4. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in Yahweh's sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things are open and naked to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. And then Messiah said in the book of John 7, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's John 7:24. 2 Corinthians, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Messiah's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Messiah's, even so we are Messiah's. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel. And that was found in 1 Peter 3:3, and Paul's earlier statement, 2 Corinthians 10:7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Well, Yahweh said to judge righteous judgment. And we have to look at ourselves first, and look at the scriptures, and see how we line up to the word. And as the old-time preachers used to call it, holiness preaching, but we use different words, being separated, being kadosh, or being kodesh, and as well, being pure in Yahweh's eyes and his sight. 2 Corinthians 10:7 and 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair. Now, some of these that are seen on the YouTube and on the internet, they look like rock stars. Why are they up in the pulpit? Then Zephaniah 1:8, speaking of strange apparel. It shall come to pass in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In other words, those who do not conform to the scriptures regarding our strange apparel and the separated apparel. Where is the man's beard and tallit and the kippah? Does he look like a rock star, a woman, or does he look like a man of Yahweh? Quit you like men. Well, that applies to all of us, though. Quit you like, Yahweh's chosen people. Let's toe in and shape up according to Yahweh's way. Abstain from all appearances of evil. So 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Actions do speak louder than words. As the book of James, as our brother and apostle James has written in that book in the New Testament. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And in Deuteronomy 21, this is regarding some of the more outward things that we do, such as eating. Eating was the first sin in the Garden of Eden. They ate from that tree of good and evil. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Those are some of the things of the outward manifestation of people. Sometimes we do linger too long at the fellowship table, loading up on all those meats instead of, the wonderful healthful foods. The green foods should be first in the dinner line and the supper line there. Let us put out the salads first and load up our plates with some good organic foods. Good for the soul. Then we read there from Deuteronomy 21:20 that the son was a glutton and a drunkard. And in Proverbs, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Proverbs 23:21. Then speaking of some of the outer manifestations, as Messiah addressed this in Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, 5, verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. In chapter 25 of Matthew, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So we have a distinguishment there. There's getting to be quite a margin, quite a gap between the sheep and the goats, as many people line up on the liberal left, or not the radical right, but on the right side of Yahweh, on his right hand, following his word willingly and just wanting to obey him from the heart with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the book of James, a double-minded man. There it's found in chapter 1 and then in chapter 4 as well. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded person. Then chapter 4, draw nigh to the Sovereign One, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, it's hypocrisy is just about the worst thing, isn't it? When we appear to be righteous, but then we give a perverted message, a perverted speaker is up there at the pulpit, or they call it the stage now and then, and he's giving mutations. He's mutating or cutting up and turning the word into something else, into his own rendition. But yet he might look like a respectable, decent person. Maybe he doesn't even qualify to be a speaker or to be a pastor or elder or deacon or servant person, according to that scripture. No, we don't want a hypocrite up there, a double-minded rock star. And James says in chapter 4 now, talking about laughter, there's a group of people that do the holy laughter. They lie down on the floor and laugh and laugh. Some standing up. James says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And more weeping in, so that was James 4, 9, but Proverbs 14, 33. As we turn the page, Proverbs 14. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going, or leaving out the word, the added word man there. The prudent looks well to his going. The simple believes every word, which is not always a good thing to just be listening to all the voices around you and talk radio and whether it be the right or the left. Let's listen to the heart of Yahweh and be reading and studying the word, not just going from cover to cover, but looking at the topics that specifically address our need of learning for the moment. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going, and we have to study the word according to the priorities. What is required right now? If the feast is coming up, let's study about that, not get way out in some other area so much. And those who cry for the way they did things in the past, and they just harp over it over and over and over, and we hear the what do they call it, harping away. Why not leave the failures and the past behind? No more crying over spilt milk. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? If you are, then you're headed for trouble, and your spiritual health, and you will certainly die. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Well, we might play a few verses for you from that song by Luke Garrett. The old man's rubble, crying over spilt milk. But remember, as Messiah said, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As you are hurt by others, possibly, if you are hurt by someone else, why would you turn around and respond to your friends the same way that your enemies treated you? Hypocrite. Treat them as you would have them do unto you, and as Yahweh would have them do unto you, according to his word. Messiah, Yahweh, or rather Yahosha, Messiah, some say Yeshua, Messiah and the name, that's one of the titles on our website, Yahweh Yahweh, or YahwehNotYahweh.com. In Isaiah, Yeshayahu chapters 29 and also 42, so let's, some of the priorities and the missions of Yahweh in chapter 42, verse 7, was the Son of the Father who was sent to deliver us from our sins. And in 42, verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to open our blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out from the prison, and then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So in other words, take us out of spiritual bondage. And then back here to chapter 29, verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity, and out of darkness. The meek shall also increase their joy in Yahweh, and the poor among men shall rejoice in Messiah, the Sovereign One of Israel. Chapter 29 of Isaiah, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall out of obscurity see out of darkness. And in Matityahu chapter 11, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's what's going on today with Yahweh's people. And blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in Messiah. Matityahu chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. The blind receiving their sight. Yes, those spiritually blind, as our eyes had scales on them that had to fall away. When we saw that Yahweh's Torah is for today. John 9:39. And the unbeliever, saved by Messiah. And he said, Yahusha, Messiah, I believe. And he worshipped him. And the next verse, 9:39. And Messiah said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not, might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Those who think that they see and understand everything, that they might become blind. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the sovereign one of our Creator, Yahusha Messiah, the sovereign one, the Father of majesty, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the majesty of his inheritance in the saints is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Let me read that verse again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Messiah, or worked, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So that we're sometimes told by the rabbi to study according to a predetermined computerized plan, starting at the end of Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day to begin at Genesis. Whether you've finished up with the Torah or not, you just restart, start over, and go back to Genesis 1 again and again and again every year without really understanding what the word is. And we're to read the word daily, as Deuteronomy chapter 17 says, to the kings, and there are many kings today. As the word says, when we're saved, we are kings and priests. So Deuteronomy 17:18, after that introduction, and it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of the book of the law out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yahweh, his sovereign one, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end or goal, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. So is that a daily thing? Yes. It's not a weekly thing or just periodically, but we, the priests and kings that reign with Yahweh, should study daily or practically every day as much as possible. And we'll get into 2 Timothy later. And so the consecutive assigned reading from the appointed calendar there, I don't recommend that, to read just from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. I think we need to find the topics that are most important for this particular time. For example, we should start out reading somewhere in the Gospels about repentance and baptism, the most important thing to know as we launch out as being a son or daughter of Yahweh. Are we to study the Word every day as opposed to just a computerized readout? 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about a daily study, a continual study. Study to show thyself approved unto the sovereign one, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun or refuse profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Messiah said there, as I flip back to Matthew now, Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Sovereign One. That's right, line upon line, here a little, there a little, as we look out from the different subjects to discuss. And Messiah also in Matthew 13:52, as we continue along the same line, to read by every word of Yahweh. And so this is 13:52, and Matityahu, Messiah said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. So the earlier and the latter scriptures. Search the scriptures daily. Every day he shall read in all the days of his life, according to Deuteronomy 17:19, and that he may learn to fear Yahweh the Sovereign One and keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So we read it as much as possible daily, and to be encouraged and instructed in the way of righteousness. Then concerning this law, we're going to go to Luke chapter 13, verse 2. And, you know, where do we start in our walk with Yahweh? For some of you who are new to this faith and messianic faith, or whatever you want to call it, the faith in belief in Yahweh, the Father, and the Messiah. Luke 13, 2. Because as I claim, it really isn't that difficult to turn on the radio to a religious program and hear the speaker say something like this: if you obey the law, you will perish. Now, is that true? And we'll also look at Matthew chapter 5. Here it is in Luke 13:2. And Messiah, or Yahosha, some read Yeshua according to the text. Yahusha answering, saying unto them, suppose you that all these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? They lost their lives for their faith. I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or do you suppose those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you all shall likewise perish. That's Luke 13:5. Another great warning of Scripture, or encouragement. I look at it as encouragement. He's talking to me. I'm the choir. You know, you and I are members of the Bride of Messiah. We are the choir, and we need to be constantly reminded. It's so easy to forget every little part here about walking in Messiah. So talking about that law again, was it done away with? No, it's made complete by the way Messiah walked and walking with him. We also have that same walk. We fulfill his law by keeping it, not by doing away with it. So if we speak contrary to this, there is no light in us. Matthew, or Matityahu 5:17. Do you think not, or rather, think not that I am come to destroy the Torah or the prophets? I am not come to destroy, but to make whole or fulfill. For verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men to break the commandments, as we hear on religious radio so frequently, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so actions speak louder than words in this case. Even regarding our behavior with the opposite gender, we become united in every way with our spouse, the opposite gender, in marriage. That's addressed in Hebrews 13, of all places. It's such a various subjects, and there are so many subjects here in Hebrews. It says in 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers or prostitutes and adulterers, the sovereign one will judge. Then turning up here to verse 9 on the next page, 13, verse 9, be not carried away or carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with unmerited favor. 12, verse 14. Now we're going to go back to here to chapter 12. And is this the one here, I think, that I wanted to read further from for you? So I'm going to have to look this up and take a quick break in here somewhere. And you may do the same if you'd like to pause. Chapter 12, verse 14, though, follow peace with all men and holiness, or being separated, without which no man shall see Yahweh, looking diligently, lest any man fail out of favor, or fall out of favor with the Sovereign One, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And in the same chapter, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, I want to go back here and flip the pages, 12:14. And I looked in the Tree of Life, and it can't even improve on the King James in this area. Hardly can improve it at all. Follow shalom with all men, and where it used holiness, remember the old holiness churches? I don't know if you remember any of those. An agenda to do away with all television, especially the stupid commercials. That was the holiness movement, and following the scriptures to a large extent. Follow pureness. Pureness? Can I say that instead of holiness? Follow pureness, without which no man shall see Yahweh, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the unmerited favor of Yahweh. And any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Yes, the same old concept from the Old Testament is still with us. Many could be defiled, lest there be any fornicator. They use the right interpretation on that. Fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He found no place of repentance, though he sought to carefully with tears. We spoke about that. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire. And then I skip through here. The sound of a trumpet and the voice of words from on heaven. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned. And then verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion. And now this speaks directly to you, believer, the choir out there. Those who are saved, those who are following after Yahusha, not how others might define how are you, they might come to your door and say, are you saved, brother? Well, maybe it would be the way they defined it, but not necessarily. Verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion. You are come unto Mount Zion. When you come up here to the feast days to keep Pesach, unleavened bread, Shavuot, that's Pentecost, or Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, our last great day, and every day you meet with Yahweh, you are come unto Mount Zion. You are. Paul says that you have come to Mount Zion, and contrary to what we might think, and under the city of the living Yahweh, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of messengers, to the general assembly and assembly of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and we've come unto Yahweh, the Yahweh, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Messiah, we've come to Messiah, the mediator of the new covenant. Now, he's the one spoken of in Isaiah and the prophets. So it can't be David or Israel. It's Messiah. And they use the Iesus there. and then translated into Jesus, but it's actually either Yahusha or Yeshua. And the mediator, and Shua, we've done a study on that. The mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not, who refused in that spake on, I'm having a hard time reading, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So you get the gist of what I said anyway. You can read that over. And my eyes are getting a little gravelly there. In Hebrews chapter 12. And we read from Hebrews 13 earlier about marriage is honorable. Chapter 12, or rather 13 about the marriage, and 12 about follow peace with all men. Then continuing with the subject about, was the law done away with? Oh, it's such a controversy. Isn't that hard to figure out? No, it isn't. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, over here. Here the page is turning again, of course. And we are delivered from the law. Oh, now wait a minute, Paul. What do you mean by that? Okay, come back here. Romans 7, verse 6, now we are delivered from the law. And then you could keep reading there. And then verse 22. Now he says, I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. So then with a mind, I myself serve the law of Yahweh, the sovereign one. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. And I'm going to stop there on that. Walking in the flesh for anybody, a believer, Christian, whoever, walking in the flesh is very, very hard on others. And it disappoints, and I'm sure it touches the heart of Yahweh when we do that, when we walk after the flesh. Of course, I've never done that, right? You know that. You know, when I got the lawnmower out there and kept pulling on that rope and it wouldn't start, and I get more frustrated? Yeah, of course. I would say, oh, praise Yahweh, my lawnmower. No, I didn't do that, sadly enough. But I should be saying that. Oh, praise Yahweh. He's going to give me a new electric one. So somebody, a neighbor, brought over an electric one, and I just stick it into the wall, and costs a few cents, and my lawn is done. Awesome. I delight in the law of the sovereign one after the inward man. With a mind or with a spirit, I myself serve the law of the sovereign one, but with a flesh, I serve the law of sin. So we don't want to be operating out of the flesh. We don't want to do that much. And, we want to minimize it to a zero. James, or Yaakov, chapter 3, verse 36 now. As we wind things up and hear a little music in the background from either, Ray Price with Bring Back the Springtime. Let me walk in the spirit, Yahweh, and be looking up and not be warbling and in a titter or whatever, or worried about the cost of tea in China and the cost of gas or anything. No, we're looking up and thinking of that new world to come. It could be quite likely, more likely than any of the other prophecies that have failed, but this is hopefully the true prophecy in Hosea chapter, chapter 2 or chapter 6, about with 2 days, Yahweh has afflicted us, but in the third day he will lift us up to live forever in his sight. And we are thinking that very soon, in the around 2029, that's the most likely that Yahweh could return because of that prophecy and many others. The Sabbath, the sabbatical year, the 1,000th rest year is coming up. And if not, if he doesn't, well, I'm going to the grave anyway soon. I'm getting about ready to turn in this old body, this old wretched old body. And Romans 12, what's that about? Oh, the old man's rubble, regardless of having delivered a good message of a so-called good message of the gospel, we might be giving a message in the way we act or dress that does not conform with the word and doesn't confirm what we're saying. We might be giving two different messages. So be alert of the message and the medium. The medium used and the message are paramount. The medium used and the message. That they are according to Yahweh's word in truth and in spirit, the scriptures. And that what we might hear, what we might have heard or somebody else might have heard in the spirit does not trump Yahweh's eternal perfect word that is written here in the scriptures from cover to cover. Romans 12 talks about that carnality and that we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to, bring in that, turn up the loud rock and roll in our church. But Romans 12 doesn't say this, be conformed to the world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say be conformed to this world, but be not conformed to the world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And we should not allow wannabe rock stars to get up and share the pulpit. And sometimes appearances are deceiving. But generally speaking, if the gentleman who gets up there in the pulpit doesn't look like a believer, doesn't look like a respectable, decent pastor, then if it's a duck, it's a duck. Now, if it walks and talks like a duck, then it's a duck, as the saying goes. So here it is, James 3:36, as I promised in Yaakov chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh, the Sovereign One, abideth on him. Oh, Yahweh, bring back the springtime and that beautiful message in the old man's rubble that we need to be warned about there from Luke Garrett as we listen to it for just a little bit more, a few more bars, a few more words out of that song, if you will, please. On this message, the outward actions and the appearance of the believer on YahwehNotYahweh.com. Thank you for joining me today. My email address, StephanYah@YahwehYahweh.name. Keep looking up, think big, and stay friendly. Think big in Yahweh, that is, in His Word, and stay friendly with one another. Blessings in Yahusha's name. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the Father?